This message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. At the end, we will give information about how to contact us to receive a copy of this or other messages.
If you have your scriptures, let's open up to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, we'll be picking up in verse 12. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This is the reading of God's Word. Please have a seat. Let's pray. Our God, what a gospel you have given us. We can't even fathom the value of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of a people like us. Lord, we pray that you would fill this time in the Word with your glory. We pray that your inestimable value would shine forward. We pray that our hearts would be captured with it. Banish the distractions from our minds, the dark clouds that hang over us from just our own hearts and our lives. Lord, we want to hear you speak. We need to hear you speak. So we pray, speak to your needy people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, one story after the next, each one building. I'm sorry, that one was just more than I could handle. You good, Elaine? He didn't get you, did he? All right. Praise God for the people of God. All right. One story after the next, one after another, showing what Jesus was going to be like, what his ministry was going to be like. And here you have it. Luke catches us up into Jesus' ministry to show it as it is beginning to pick up momentum. He's out there. Jesus is out there preaching in all these different cities, just like he said he had to do. Remember, he couldn't just stay in one spot. He had to go forward and preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And so that's just what he's doing. That's what he's out there accomplishing. And as he goes, he's healing people. And as a result, his reputation is spreading like wildfire. The crowds are coming in greater and greater numbers. And that's that reputation as a healer that leads us into today's story. It provides the context for why the situation even came about. As you pick up into verse 12, one day there came a man full of leprosy to see Jesus. Just that word, that phrase, the full of leprosy. It honestly kind of gives me the shivers. Full of leprosy. It was an advanced case, seems to be what Luke means by that. And he has come to see Jesus. Now, you have to. You just absolutely have to dive back into the Old Testament to understand what's going on here. Understanding a man with leprosy coming to Jesus is built on a foundation that's been well documented, if we'll just go back to the scriptures to see it. See, this is what the scriptures say a leper's life would look like. Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, I'll read it for you. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. That's severe sounding, isn't it? But leprosy was as serious as it really got in ancient times. There's a number of things that the word leprosy is described used for in the scriptures, not only the thing we would call leprosy, but you get that most serious form of leprosy and it is unbeatable. It is contagious. Ultimately, it's lethal. The only defense they had in this case was to quarantine the person, to not let them go near anyone else. That's the only defense they had. And this resulted in a life that one commentator described as a living death. That is what it's like to live as a leper. Leprosy was defiling. It was absolutely defiling, and so much so it really was a symbol of sin itself. A leper was severed from society, totally cut off. The scriptures that we just read said that they had to live outside the camp. And again, see, that's not like, hey, they just live on the outskirts. They live in the suburbs. Outside the camp is outside the nearness of God. Outside the camp is outside the community of God's blessing. Outside the camp is the place where they put the defiled. Outside the camp is where you put the people for a place of shame. That is what it means to live outside the camp. And then you have to picture the everyday kind of experiences. When that leper ever did see someone, what did they have to do? They had to cry out. They had to declare their presence and say, unclean, unclean. Everywhere they went. The categories of clean and unclean are actually often misunderstood. See, God had a number of commands that he gave to his people to related to how they would know if someone or something was clean or unclean. You see these commands relating to things like hygiene. You see them related to diet. The problem here is that people often fixate on just the command, just the specific command, and they forget to ask that really important question, what was God accomplishing with those commands? It's not just about the command, it's about God's purpose in the command. Because the categories of clean and unclean, they were categories of purity. They were categories of holiness. God was constantly teaching his people that he demanded holiness of his chosen people. He had not chosen them to live like all the world. He had chosen them to be set apart. And that was to come out in the way they lived their daily lives. They are supposed to live differently from all other people. You're not supposed to be able to mistake the people of God with the people of the world. That's what God is showing them. And he's also constantly showing them their need to be made clean, to be made pure, to be made holy. These are gospel themes. They're going to go all the way to Jesus Christ. God was teaching his people a lifestyle rhythm of holiness with those categories of clean and unclean. And so in the case of the leper, he was perpetually unclean. There was no end to this for him. As long as he had the disease, what did it say? He is unclean. Every day he lived in a state of impurity, of unholiness. Every day his life was dominated by his condition. His uncleanness was so bad that it was in fact a threat to anyone he came across. That's why he has to call out, unclean, unclean. What he is essentially saying is, I am unholy and I could corrupt you. That is his life. What kind of life is that? What kind of life is it to be a leper in that time? Every day is a day of shame in that life. I mean, can you just try and get your mind into his, walk a mile in his shoes, and you just think how hard it would be that your very existence is a blight on society. Everyone just as well wishes you would disappear. People certainly would have shunned him, right? If someone's walking towards you, infectious disease, you could die. You would shun them too. You would turn the other way and run. Probably more than shunning, I have no doubt that there were those who outright hated him. For the threat he represented, for the uncleanness he represented. No one wanted to be around him. Every day was a day of shame. Every day he would have felt also a sense of just powerlessness. Total powerlessness in his life. Because there is nothing he can do about his situation. No vitamins, no clean eating, no whatever. There is nothing he can do about his situation. There's no doctor that he could find that could help him. There is no cure. His whole life until the day he died was a demonstration of his inability to change anything. Every day was a reminder of his powerlessness. And every day his need was evident. It was obvious. Every day his body was falling apart. Every day he depended on the charity of others simply to live. He was kept alive by a society that most likely despised him. Think about that kind of lifestyle. And where he lived outside the camp was far from blessing. He was separated from what he needed most of all. It wasn't food, it wasn't company, it was God himself. Every day, his need was obvious. And that is the context to understand a leper in. This is the leper who comes begging to Jesus. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. Now, he doesn't doubt the ability of Jesus. He just doesn't know if Jesus desires to cleanse him. He knows that. He doesn't ask for healing, does he? He asks for cleansing. He asks that Jesus would clean him. Obviously, the two are closely related. Healing and cleansing would go hand in hand. But the leper knows his condition as it makes him stand before the law of God. He knows that according to the law of God, he is defiled. And he knows that he needs the cleansing of the Lord so that he won't be required to live a perpetual existence of uncleanness. He knows that he needs the Lord's cleansing if he can ever be allowed back into the camp, back into the nearness of God. If you are willing, you can cleanse me. Verse 13, and you have just a pause of a moment where you wonder how well Jesus reacts to this bold beggar. It is bold that he comes up to Jesus. He should have kept his distance. That would have been what was expected. And here he is on his face in front of Jesus. What's Jesus going to do? Would Jesus react like so many others would have in fear? Get away from me. In disgust, oh, you are horrible to look at. Would he be offended by the nearness of this unclean one? Do you know who I am? How dare you? How dare you come in my presence? It's not how he reacts. This is just a mind-blowing part of this passage. Jesus touches him. Jesus touches him. Leprosy, one of the worst diseases around, spread by physical contact. And Jesus touches him. Jesus touches the leper. What compassion. What compassion our Savior had. Jesus is not above the suffering of this man. Jesus is not cold to his plight. Jesus reaches out and touches a man who has not been touched in who knows how long. Jesus draws near to the man's uncleanness in order to show just the most basic acts of human warmth and affection. I seriously doubt that any of us can ever appreciate how powerful just that touch was in and of itself. What a compassionate Savior. And now for anyone else, touching a leper is an act of personal risk. But with Jesus, I think it's actually a lot more like an act of a demonstration of his power. Demonstration of his power. He's already shown he's got authority over fevers. He can rebuke a fever and it goes out. Turns out he has authority over leprosy as well. He doesn't fear the worst of humanity's diseases. So he touches him. The leper said, "If you will, you can make me clean." Jesus responds, "I will be clean." What beautiful brevity. Yes, he is able to clean, to cleanse, and yes, he wills it. In a single moment, the man's life-defining condition is cleansed. In a single moment, Jesus gives back life to the outcast, and he gives him a hope for the future. Glorious, glorious. One huge reason that we needed to go back to the Old Testament was because we needed to be clear that this passage has everything to do with us. This isn't just about lepers. This is about us. This is about how God's law of uncleanness was about so much more than hygiene and what people ate. The leper is showing on the outside what sin is doing to all people on the inside. You follow that? The leper is showing on the outside what sin is doing to all people on the inside. Without Christ, we are like this leper. Without Christ, we are desperately guilty before God. The shame of our lives, of our sin, permeates every day we live. You see it in the way we talk. You see it in the way we talk to people. You see it in the way we talk about people. You see the shame and the filth that we feed our souls day in and day out. You see it in the selfishness that is like the central reason for us to live our lives. The selfishness that would say, "Let me get mine, but I'm not really worried about you." The shame of our sin is in everyday life. And it turns out our shame is deeper than our actions. Our shame is in our hearts themselves. It turns out we can't help but be shameful. We can't help but live shameful, sinful lives because that is what our hearts are made of. So what would you expect? Our hearts are defiled by their own form of leprosy. Without Christ, we are powerless. We can't clean the stains on our souls. We can't cancel out the debt that we know we owe. There is no way for us to fix it. Utterly powerless. Without Christ, we are the needy ones. When we see ourselves clearly, it is so obvious how desperately we need our sins to be forgiven. How desperately we need the stains to be washed off. Moreover, without Christ, we are outside of God's grace. We are living outside the camp. We are alienated from God. And there is no hope far from God. So like the leper, we also must come to Christ. Like the leper, we too must go before the one who can heal and say, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That is us begging every bit as earnestly as this leper face down on the ground. And this is the good news. Jesus is willing. Jesus is able to cleanse the defiled. God is not only able, I want you to understand, God actually wants to cleanse. He wants to bless you. We don't give God nearly enough credit for how much He wants to bless us. Our biggest prayers often don't live up to what God promises every single one of His children all the time. I think of it, and the things we pray for, they're not bad. Not at all, but we pray for healing. God promises us eternal life. We pray for forgiveness. God will say, I will give you forgiveness and I'll give you righteousness on top of it. We pray for success and God's saying, I'll give you glory. Our prayers don't even scratch the surface of how much God wants us to have. So when we come to God in faith, those are important words, in faith, we have no good reason to doubt that God desires to bless His people. No good reason to doubt it at all. Actually, I think we should expect that whatever we hope for, God actually has something infinitely better already in mind for us. When we see our sin and the defilement of our souls, not someone else's soul, our souls, I want you to have no doubt at all that God desires for you to be washed whiter than snow. And when we come to Christ, He does more than reach out to us in our uncleanness. He became our uncleanness. He didn't just reach out to us. He became it on our behalf. As the writer to the Hebrews would say, Christ suffered outside the camp so that His people could be reconciled to their God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The Holy One took on our unholiness. And by His wounds we were healed. It's a glorious passage. I loved studying this passage this week. I figure this passage means something different to you depending on where you stand today. Usually the sermons do. There are those who still need to be cleansed. And there are those who already have been cleansed. For those who have not been cleansed, learn from the leper. Learn from the leper. Look at yourself And look at yourself, not how you want to look at yourself. Look at yourself, not how the world looks at you. Look at yourself in the light of how God looks at you. Look at yourself in the light of God's law. And behold your sin. Go a step further than that. Don't just look at it. Don't just behold it. Acknowledge your sin. And acknowledge the situation in which your sin places you. We spend so much time trying to talk ourselves out of the reality of our sin and out of the condemnation we know we deserve. Do it different. Instead of trying to justify yourself, believe what God says about you. God says your sin is killing you. And it leads you down a certain path to eternal death in hell itself. That is where your sin is leading you. See yourself clearly. If never before, right now, see yourself clearly so that finally you can see clearly what Christ is offering. Look at the Savior. Look at the Savior and know that He is able to cleanse you if you will trust and follow Him. Know that His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead, that can be your salvation. Yours personally. Not your friend's salvation, not your parent's salvation. Your salvation. God is more than willing to cleanse you and make you new. I promise. For those who have already been cleansed, this passage is still for you. I want you to remember something. Remember how defiled you were in light of God's holiness. Your soul was every bit as horrifying as a leper's decaying skin before Christ. Once you have that clear, once you can see who you were for the wickedness you had, you lived in, wallowed in. Once you can see that, then you will see how great and beautiful a gospel you have received. Then you will see what a mighty work God accomplished on your behalf when He forgave you and cleansed that wicked and decaying soul of yours and made you new. Then you will appreciate what He has done. And once your roots are planted deep in the knowledge of what God has done for you, the natural thing's going to happen. You're going to want to proclaim it. When that goodness is welled up inside your soul, don't be surprised that it spills over the top into your conversations and into your life. God intends for those who have been saved to proclaim the salvation of God. God intends for the washed and the cleansed to celebrate their salvation, because it's a glorious thing. We are not meant to be somber, not about salvation. The redeemed of the Lord should be the ones shouting it out from the rooftops. Not because you're faking it, not because that's the technique, but because, like I said, that goodness is just welling up in your heart and you cannot keep it in any longer. One last thing. Those who have been cleansed need a really important reminder. Those who are cleansed know where they will find cleansing again. Those who are cleansed know where they will find cleansing again. See, when you fail, anyone failed this week? When you rebel and you go back to the darkness that you swore you would never go back to, when you go back to the thing you know is pure shamefulness, you are ashamed even to think about it, much less to talk about it with anyone else. When you go back, there's half a reaction that most of you know how to do, and it's to lament it and to be ashamed of it and to regret it. And yes, it was a terrible thing to go back to your sin once more. Yes, repent of it. Yes, confess it. Yes, come back. But you have to know the God who first cleansed you and made you new, He is more than capable to cleanse you once again. If you would have God wash you clean once again, know that your Savior is most certainly willing. Let's pray. Father, that is us, this leper, that is us. And I pray that we would have no illusions that that is not us, that we were somehow better off than a leper. Father, for those who have not been cleansed today, let today be the day. Let them see themselves for who they really are, which is not pretty good, which is not decent, which is not getting by, which is not, you know, we're all trying here. Lord, they are utterly defiled in their sins. And they need to know it. And I pray that you would take them through that point, not just to see their sins, but to see the glories of your grace. To see how much you offered us. To see how much you've done for us in Jesus Christ. Lord, may there be no one here who remains in their defilement. Who remains in their soul's leprosy. And Father, may the cleansed of the Lord rejoice. We pray that you would renew our joy in the incredible salvation you accomplished for us. Fill us up. Fill our hearts to the point of overflowing. And we pray that you would help us then to share that joy. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. To receive a copy of this or other messages, call us at area code 775-782-6516 or visit our website, gracenevada.com.